Who knows whether God will not turn and relent? Who knows whether God will not turn and relent? That is the question asked by the prophet Joel in the middle of that reading. Who knows whether God will indeed turn away and relent from the coming destruction, and instead of destruction, leave a time of plenty and blessing? Who knows? This is a question that I think speaks to us. Who knows? Do you really know? That's the question. Do we really know whether God will relent from punishment and destruction and death even if we repent? Let me ask it this way. Do you really trust? Do you really believe that God will forgive you? Of course, we say that we know this. We say that we trust this. We say that we have faith in a God of grace, that is a God who rewards us not according to what we have done, what we deserve, but instead according to God's boundless compassion and forgiveness and love. This is what we proclaim to believe. And yet, I cannot tell you how many times I have heard words like this from a person nearing the end of this earthly journey saying, I've really tried to be a good person, but I just don't know. How many times have I heard a church member who is bereaved, they've recently lost a deceased loved one, and they say, well, they didn't go to church, but they were such a good person. So many times I've heard someone wrestling with their own brokenness, their own failures, saying, I hope that God will forgive me. It seems to me that all too often the question that the prophet Joel cries out, who knows if God will turn and relent and forgive us and give us mercy, that we still wrestle with that question. Sometimes deep down, even after we've heard the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, even after we've been baptized into the body of Christ, promised God's Spirit, declared to be God's own beloved with Jesus, even with that, sometimes we still wonder, does God love us? Will God relent from punishing? Do we really know? And that is why it seems to me that Ash Wednesday is just the right day for people who still wrestle with the prophet Joel's question. For Ash Wednesday is a day which assures us over and over, which tells us over and over, God is gracious and merciful. God is slow to anger. God is abounding in steadfast love. The psalm that we began with, we sang it in the refrain, we sang it in the psalm, we sang it in the refrain again. God is merciful. Ash Wednesday calls out to us in our wrestling, echoing the psalmist, Joel, so many of the prophets. Repent, for destruction is coming. Repent of unfaithfulness. Repent, because in rejecting God, you're destroying yourselves. You're rushing towards the cliff from which there's no return. You're falling into conflict and warfare, into oppression and hatred and division. You're rushing headlong down those same old self-destructive human paths that always, always lead to death. Repent or be destroyed. You're rushing towards self-destruction. And we hear also the prophet's reassurance. You're rushing towards self-destruction, but do not despair. God is with you. The God who is forgiving and loving and merciful, compassionate, wants to save you, wants to turn you around, wants to show you a way through. Through the brokenness, through the sin, our willful rejection of mercy and compassion and justice that brings loss and failure and division and death. We hear this again and again tonight. That is what the words, "Remember you are dust and to dust you shall return," that you will hear as we mark foreheads with the sign of a cross. Remember, you are unable to save yourselves from the self-destruction that you fall into, and yet God is with you. God is with us as to the dust we return, even as we return to dust. Hear this news. Dust is not the end. Dust is not your final home. The Word of God, the God of life, will lead us through. Will lead us to the other side of loss, the other side of suffering, the other side of the conflict and division and violence and hatred that afflict us, to the other side of death. The God of life will lead us into life. From beginning to end in this service, we begin with the psalm. We join the psalmist pleading, crying out, "God, we need your help." We will come to the altar and take on a physical sign of repentance, the sign of the cross in ashes. The ashes represent penance, and the cross represents humanity's ultimate failure. The cross represents our failure to listen, to stop and see, to recognize and acknowledge pure love when Christ proclaimed it, a God of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love. The cross represents our failure, our refusal to see God's love in Christ, to turn away from our games, our battles, our power struggles, our fears and hatred, our death dealing for our sake. We're marked with a sign both of repentance and a sign of our greatest human failure, the crucifixion of God, of love. A sign that reminds us, no matter how often we fail, no matter how often we turn away from God's mercy or reject God's love, until we are literally and figuratively ground to dust, God is with us in mercy. God offers that love which we do not believe we deserve. God offers us the love like a cool stream in the desert, like the lifeboat from a ship sinking in the storm, like a lightning bolt of resurrection flashing in the deadly still tomb. We plead for mercy and miracle of miracles. Yet again, God's forgiveness is announced. God's love for the doomed is declared. God's abounding love and steadfast mercy is proclaimed. When we gather at the end, at God's table, when we're fed and nourished again, offered Jesus on body, on being, on spirit, God is again in, with, and under bread and wine with us. Mercy is with us. Love is with us. We begin this Lenten journey, this liturgical journey each year toward the celebration of Easter on the other side of the death and resurrection of Jesus. We begin with this call to reflection and growth, the words of the prophet Joel, the marking with ashes. And we hear, you are forgiven. You are offered mercy and love. You are transformed. And so therefore are Joel's words, the words of the prophets. Repent, fast, cry out, turn around. These words that seemingly at first ring with doom and destruction are transformed into words of invitation. Growth, hope, renewed faith. This is the good news. Christ indeed raises us, raises you from dust to new life again and again and again. Amen.